Hey, is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yep, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
Whoa, I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Get our best deals on iPhone 15 Pro at T-Mobile.com. One-year upgrade requires Go 5G Next plan, financing new qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Good morning to you. You made it to Thursday. I am in awe of those of you who are already awake and processing information at this hour. Or maybe you're still awake, West Coast, Left Coast, Hawaii, Alaska. That would be more my style. In fact, I prefer to remain on a West Coast schedule simply because I'm a night owl. And when I walk in the door downstairs at, I don't know, sometimes it's just after midnight Eastern time, maybe it's 12:30, something along those lines. And the security guard says to me, good morning. It feels very jarring. Jay, do you respond good morning or hello? How do you respond?
I usually just say hello and wave, but every morning, yeah. Every night, I mean, good morning, good morning.
Yeah, it's very odd.
A little bit.
In fact, there are people, and again, it just all depends upon your perspective. There are people who will post on our Facebook page or send me tweets. The show hasn't even started yet. Now, granted, we are in the Eastern time zone in New York City, which is where CBS Sports Radio is located. And so, yes, when we go on the air, technically it's past midnight. But because we're talking primarily to a West Coast audience when we begin, it's not their morning. And so it's really important when you do a network show, a national show, to keep time zones in mind and recognize how the audience turns over. But because we are located in the Eastern time zone, there are people who are working overnight, who are driving, maybe they can't sleep, and they will send messages that say, good morning at 1 o'clock. Just what? It's not morning. I've been awake since 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not morning, right? It's nighttime. I don't know. It's all about your perspective.
You.
But there are people that wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, whether it's Eastern time zone. My mom's husband, he gets up really early on the days that he goes to the office. He does a hybrid schedule now. But on the days he goes to the office, I mean, he's awake before 5 and getting the dogs out and taking care of them. And so there are a lot of people who do early, early mornings. This is likely the case in many big cities, but I just know it specifically because of New York traffic. It's so funny when people say, Jay, and I find this highly amusing, when people say to us, oh, well, you drive into this city opposite traffic. What? There's no opposite traffic in New York. There's just traffic all the time.
Never stops.
And so when we leave the city, and I leave a little earlier than Jay does, mostly because of Penny, but when I leave and I bust out of here and I get to the Lincoln Tunnel, which goes underneath the Hudson River and takes me to New Jersey where I live, at 6:05 in the morning, there's already a 30-minute backup to get into the city.
Minimum.
Yeah, minimum, true. If there's an accident or something else going on. Yesterday morning, and I don't know what's happening this week, Jay and I were fit to be tied. Bumper-to-bumper traffic in New York, in New Jersey for me anyway. Jay lives on Long Island, so he stays in New York. But yeah, it's, my gosh, it's definitely trying to think of the right word. It's a misnomer, there's a good word, that driving in big cities at odd hours means that you are solo. I mean, it's just not true.
No.
And even if there are fewer cars on the road, which doesn't always happen in big cities, well, then you have construction. And then you have whatever. You just have all kinds of delays for other reasons. And so I dare say a lot of you around the country, part of the reason that you wake up as early as you do, especially on the Eastern time zone, is because you want to get to the gym, you got to take care of your pets, or heck, you have to catch mass transit so you get a really early start, or you drive. And I think since the pandemic, at least, again, I can only really base my perspective on New York, which is the worst traffic in the history of the world. But I know for sure that fewer people use mass transit now. And so because of that, there are more cars on the road. There are a lot of issues with mass transit in New York City. It's reliable for a lot of people, but it's also kind of scary at these hours. And so for that reason, more and more people drive. So traffic is now above pre-pandemic levels to the point where they're about to start hiking up the tolls and instituting new tolls just for driving in New York. It's not to come into New York. It's not to get across the river, use the bridges or the tunnels. No, it's just to drive in the city.
Did you see what they just did this week?
No, I don't even want to know. Do I want to know?
Well, it doesn't really affect us in our hours, but they just hiked up the meter prices pretty significantly in the city just on Monday.
That's the only benefit to working our hours is that we don't have to pay to park.
Right.
If you know where you're going. I mean, right. If you know the city, and it takes you a bit to figure it out, to find out where the free parking is. But where we are in Lower Manhattan, we can at least park for free. So there's that. Unless, of course, you put your car on the wrong side of the road and then you
at
get
two in the morning,
a big ticket.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyway, so all that to say, we know there are a ton of you who are already in your cars, who are already commuting, or you're getting ready to do that. And we can see the patterns on social media. I just know based on, like I said, traveling and recognizing that more and more people live farther outside of big cities, which means their commutes take longer or they want to get up and at them into their cars. And you know, that applies to Bob. He goes into work a lot earlier than what you would expect just so he can beat the early morning traffic and then be out of the office before typical rush hour. We come up with all these tricks as humans, but then the problem is everybody else starts doing that too, and then you're in the same boat.
I've tried to do that with the GPS, where if I see a heavy traffic area and it tells me to go around, sometimes I'll just go straight at the way because I feel like everyone's looking at their app and everyone's app is telling them to go around. So you know what? Maybe it's just better to go straight and keep it going.
Even when it tells you plus 18 minutes for an accident?
Just testing that theory. not sure yet.
Not committed to it yet.
No.
On Twitter, A-Law Radio just got this tweet from a Browns fan. He says, still alive in Survivor Island. Okay. Jay, how many people are left in Survivor Island?
About 100.
Really?
Yeah, about 100.
Now, see, I would think at this point it becomes easier. I could be wrong, though. If you picked the Niners last week, you were SOL. Or if you picked the Eagles last week, right? Probably
yeah,
if you picked the
one.
Bills against the Giants, you were sweating it out.
Like me, yeah.
Oh, goodness. Was that your pick last week?
Yes, it was.
You're still alive?
I'm in.
Jay, you haven't mentioned it. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm still there.
Is it the only Survivor pool that you entered this year?
Yeah, only one.
Okay, gotcha.
Only one, still alive. I've played against my favorite team the last 2 weeks. Hasn't been great.
Damn you, Jacksonville. I was out week number three. That was. I mean, it's half of what I went last year. I think I got to week six last year. Never made it past week six. Jay, I'm rooting for you. Actually, maybe I'll root for this Cleveland fan. He says, you help me process information. Thank you for everything. Well, you're welcome.
There you go.
Don't we give away after hours swag?
Absolutely.
For the sole survivors on Survivor Island? All right, you're still in the running for the swag.
It's a tough week this week, though. Looking at it early, it's a tough one.
We will come up with the after hours game of the week on our next show, of course. You all love that. And sometimes you're flat out wrong, but that always makes me giggle. It's something that I say, I haven't said it yet this season, but it's so true. When you make predictions, the NFL laughs in your face. All right, so on Twitter, on Facebook, good to connect with you. Love you. Any of our interviews that you haven't yet heard, like Cynthia Freeland, who gave us a great preview of Eagles and Dolphins this Sunday night based on some of the cool stats and trends that she processes through her mathy brain. She was awesome. We also talked about the Lions. They've got a big game on the road against the Ravens. This is why I have to go grocery shopping on Thursday morning so I can be in place for not just the kickoff to week seven, but also a doubleheader in Major League Baseball. Why? Well, because the Phillies and the Diamondbacks are in Phoenix, and now we know we will at least go to a Game 5 in the ALCS because for the first time, the Astros struck first in their series against the Rangers.
Here's the 0-1. In the dirt, kicks to the right of Heim. Here comes Alvarez, and he will score. And the Astros lead 1-0, their first lead in the series. Scherzer delivers. And that is hit sharply past Youngin in the left field. Tucker scores. Dubon around third coming home. He will score as well. Maldonado racing for second. The throw in the second to slide. Maldonado was out, but the two runs count.
This one's clubbed. Left field and deep. Going back to Varus. Still going back. Still going back. It's gone. That's how you do it. Left center field for Altuve. Six rows deep. 4-0 Astros. And it's Altuve's turn.
Robert Ford and Steve Sparks on Astros Radio. Yeah, Max Scherzer was strong in the first inning. Had a couple, if I remember correctly, it could be wrong, but an easy inning, easy, air quotations, but also had some pretty demonstrative strikeouts. But the Astros desperately needed this one. They needed to be able to make some noise, and Scherzer, he had a weak spot, and that was his slider. And so they were able to get to him in innings 2, 3, and 4. Meanwhile, Christian Javier, who's been a bit of a revelation the last month, we talked with Steve Sparks earlier in the show. He joined us from Dallas, I think he said his hotel was in. So they're kind of spread out all over the place because the broadcasters and the staff can't fit in the same hotel as the players now because there's such a large traveling party in the postseason. Anyway, he just said, and this is how he describe Christian Javier's season. He was bad. He was bad in the second half of the season. And so he gave us kind of the behind the scenes, what was happening. He was working hard. The pitching staff, the pitching coaches were working hard with him. And then he found a nice groove. And so his last four starts have been quality starts. He's been really good. Took a no-hitter into the fifth. He lasted 5 2/3, only gave up 3 hits and a couple of runs. And after that, the Rangers started making a little noise, a little something-something.
Javier at the belt and to the plate. There's a swing and a drive to right center field. Chasing Dubon back. He's at the wall. He leaps, and it is history. It's in the Ranger bullpen. Josh Young goes the opposite way and gets the Rangers back in it. It's Houston 5 and the Rangers 2.
On Rangers radio, yeah, Josh Young actually had a pair of home runs. And there were a couple of moments where you could see the game was either going to break open in favor of the Astros or the Rangers could potentially make a rally. But, you know, we talk about pitching. We talk about offense. Can't forget about the defense.
This ball is drilled deep out into center field. Leody going back. He's on the track. He leaps and he makes the catch. Leody Taveras says to everyone, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
Nice.
He takes a home run away from Yordan Alvarez and keeps it a 5-2 game. What a play.
2-2. That's hammered deep to left center field, headed toward the gap. Brantley racing over, and he runs it down. What a catch by Michael Brantley. Deep left center field, then goes into a tumble on the warning track, holds on to the baseball. Inning over.
Boy, can you believe that? Brantley out of nowhere, a flash. Tumbling onto the warning track in left center field in the catch of the year for the Astros, thwarting the Rangers' chances here in the sixth inning. What a play.
Again, on both Astros and Rangers radio, and it was Rangers first, but I flipped it. You had a couple of really impressive catches. One with a leaping grab up against the wall, and then another diving, tumbling grab out in the deepest part of the park. So,
immaculate!
That makes me happy. I get off the bench or off the chair for defense. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Yordan Alvarez with a big game, and the Astros, a lot of times will go as he goes. I mean, he's one of the reasons why they have gone to 7 consecutive ALCSs. And obviously he wasn't with them for the 2017 run or the couple of seasons after that, but he's help to bridge the gap. I mean, he's one of the reasons why they've had, I don't want to say it's seamless, but they've had a transition from the original Astro team that won that 17 World Series. And a lot of the guys have turned over. I mean, we know George Springer's been gone and Carlos Correa. I called them the core four going back to 17. Bregman, Altuve, Correa, and Springer. And you've seen a lot of pitchers come and go. There's only four guys left on that original roster from 17, but they were able to bridge the gap to this next era because Yordan Alvarez is amazing. He's a beast. That's what Steve Sparks called him. It's awesome to see him. And he certainly was able to get some success there early and late. So it padded the lead in the seventh. And ultimately the Astros, because they get out to that early lead, they're able to protect it. And it comes against Max Scherzer, who gives up five runs on four innings and, you know, hadn't pitched in over a month. Did that have something to do with it?
You might be able to, you know, isolate a few pitches here and there in terms of execution, but in general, I thought I'd, you know, locate the ball pretty well for a layoff. But this is the postseason. There's no excuses. You either win or you lose, and tonight we lost.
He also said he wasn't going to be too hard on himself and did give what seemed like a few excuses. I wasn't on board with this decision. This really made me nervous for the Rangers. I get that he's Max Scherzer, and I get that he's got a World Series ring and Cy Young's and what we call the bulldog mentality. He's Mad Max. But his last few playoff appearances have been the complete opposite of what we saw from him earlier in his career in the playoffs. In the prime of his career, yeah, you trot him out there. And he was Justin Verlander. I mean, the two of them were very similar in that regard, which is why they were able to go to other teams and help those teams win rings. But we did not see that from Max Scherzer last postseason or now this start against the Rangers. Remember, he wasn't on the ALDS roster. I didn't like this. 36 days off. I know he did a simulated game, but I wasn't feeling it. And Bruce Bochy didn't criticize him a ton. Just that you give up five runs in four innings and now it is a stress on your bullpen as well. Of course, on the flip side, give credit to Christian Javier, who allows just the two runs. And yeah, Bruce Bochy was kind of focused on his performance.
He's tough. You know, he's got the fastball, that just the riding fastball that just rises a little bit and hitters have a tough time. I mean, he's been throwing well in the postseason. We knew that coming in. We had our hands full, and he pitched well for him. He's got good stuff, and you know, he's got the off-speed pitches to go with it. But it's a tough fastball when you haven't seen it.
They got a really good staff. Javier threw a heck of a game tonight.
The all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 6 is sleek, full of advanced tech, and has a range of up to 360 miles. Any drawbacks? Yeah, every Ioniq 6 comes with a complimentary EV charger and up to $600 installation credit, so you're going to have to figure out something else to spend that money on. The all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 6. Hyundai. It's your journey.
EPA estimated 361-mile range for Ioniq 6 SE long-range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Actual range varies based on trim and other factors. Actual charge time varies based on charging unit output, temperature, and other factors. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
And you're not going to go out there and score seven runs every game. You know, I think that was probably our first little scuffle there.
Scuffle?
And that's just baseball.
True. And let's be big picture about this. The Rangers won seven games in a row to start the playoffs. Did any part of you think that they were just going to run the table all the way through? Maybe you did. Maybe there's some Rangers fans out there that thought that they did. I didn't love the Max Scherzer move. I know their offense can cover a multitude of sins. I get that. But not a huge fan of this move. And now, see, the issue is they have to play two more days in a row. And tomorrow is a pretty quick turnaround. Oh, wait. Are they the late? They're the late game. Never mind. It's the 24-hour turnaround. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Jose Altuve, this is amazing. 100th playoff game coming up tonight. Whew! We had this conversation last week And in fact, I got so much traffic on social media with this question. Really no right or wrong answer. It's just a matter of opinion. But what's more impressive? Five consecutive AFC championship games at home, which is what the Chiefs have accomplished, or seven straight appearances in the ALCS. And a lot of you wanted to point to the Astros and the cheating, and I get that. I understand. It tarnishes the accomplishment for you. But considering there are only four guys left from that team, different manager, different general manager, different a lot of things, it's pretty impressive. And Jose Altuve is one of the carryovers, and now 100 playoff games with the start on Thursday night. Great conversation with Steve Sparks, actually. You can hate the Astros, but he always gives good intel because he's a former big leaguer himself. So I asked him, how do you approach a Rangers lineup that is extremely potent? I liked his answer. And also, what gave the Astros the staying power? Because again, it's not the same people. There's a couple of people. Justin Verlander. I wasn't even bleeping here. Although, to be honest, he only missed a couple months with the Astros, so he has been with them. So I guess if you're looking for constants, certainly Justin Verlander, except for the 1 year in which he had the Tommy John, right? And he was gone. But, I mean, he came back better than ever.
We grinded. I wasn't even here.
It's his inflection that makes me laugh so hard.
Seven time, all right?
Jay hates him, but does appreciate his locker room celebrations. Oh, come on. Okay, who do you dislike more, Max or Justin?
Oh, Max, easily. Easily? Not even close.
Easily. What about James Harden? Do you feel the same way about him?
Not great. I'm a Nets fan as well, so.
Jay harbors grudges, but it's funny.
Come on.
It's funny. It's funny for me to hear them through Jay's eyes. And sometimes his face, when I bring up athletes, his face crunches, it contorts into all kinds of interesting expressions.
It does.
It does. That's why we only allow him to turn on the microphone every now and then. Words might escape that we don't want on the air. Okay, let's see. Roger Goodell said this earlier. His job is not in jeopardy. He's got job security. And he's still a stiff. No, I shouldn't say that. He talks like he's a stiff. But you know what? The NFL pays him handsomely to run interference and to deflect and to be as vanilla and boring as possible. He does that so well, doesn't he? Even when he's in his basement and drinking alcohol on the night of the draft. Oh, I don't know if he was. It's a thing. People believe he was drunk when he was emceeing the draft during 2020.
He was loose that night.
He was loose.
Have we seen him loose like that since? I'm not sure.
Loose lips sink ships. Isn't that a...
He was loose. That's all I'm saying.
Like it. My stomach's growling. It's not loose. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I will miss the interaction I have with our fans over these 3 days. It's a draft tradition and one that I genuinely enjoy. Let's hear from you right now. Oh, come on, guys. You can do better than that. Let's go. Oh, straight in. Come on, let's go. Come on, you guys can do better than that. All right, keep it coming. Wow, even the virtual booze are good. Yes, I can hear you from my basement.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You know the classic insult for sports radio listeners or people who are sending nasty tweets, trolls essentially. They live in their parents' basement. Well, what does that say about Roger Goodell? He was trolling fans or trying. It was awful. I mean, the draft itself was really successful. Actually, people enjoyed seeing the draft picks. Like, that was the draft where Joe Burrow was selected number one overall. And he was sitting in a room just with his parents, if you remember correctly. But there were so many other draft picks that were hiding dozens of family members and friends behind closed doors or whatever else. And it was really cool to see the emotion and the reaction. And actually, the draft got huge ratings. I think over the course of the few days, there were 50-something million viewers for that draft, even though it originated from Roger Goodell's basement. And he had a jar full of, what is it, M&Ms or Skittles or something? And he had a red cup, or, you know, like a, he had himself a cup. And I'm telling you, all the guys that I work with insisted that he was drinking adult beverages.
I just watched it again. I'm not saying he wasn't. So
it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. He has received a contract extension from the NFL that will take him through 2027. So he's already under contract through 24. And now he's got another 3 years, which, by the way, will carry him past his 20-year anniversary as the commissioner of the league. And he's got big dreams.
We didn't really talk about that. It's a 3-year extension. From my standpoint, there's still a number of things we want to do as a league. It's not my agenda. As a matter of fact, when we talked about the long-range plan, we talked about this is your long-range plan. This is our long-range plan. And there are a lot of challenges out there, but there are also a lot of opportunities for us. And we're focused on how we make the NFL better every day, how we become a global sport. I think some very exciting things are happening in that context. And I feel really good about where the National Football League is today, but we don't sit around and tell ourselves that. We really sit and we really focus on what are the things we need to do.
Okay, so a couple of things. He was asked repeatedly, at the fall meetings there as he was doing this press conference, the fall meetings, the owners' meetings taking place in New York on Wednesday. He was asked multiple times, will this be your last contract as commissioner? And he said, I have no idea. It's a 3-year deal. So here I am. And he started in the league under Pete Rozelle. He was an admin or something like that. It's some kind of an intern under Pete Rozelle going back years. And if I remember correctly, Rozelle served for almost 30 years. So there's Paul Tagliabue. He was in the position for a while. So here's Roger Goodell, who will bypass his 20-year anniversary during this contract. And people want to know whether or not this is it. But he's obviously not going to answer that question. And I don't think the NFL owners have any desire to change leadership, not with the way the league is making money hand over fist. So think about it. Last year's revenue, $18.6 billion, up a billion from the year before. Part of that is because of these lucrative new deals with YouTube and Amazon, not to mention brand new broadcast deals with some of their partners like CBS, Fox, ESPN, ABC, blah, blah, blah. So there's this influx of new money under Roger Goodell. His stated goal, and I know this from years ago, is to get the NFL to an annual revenue of $25 billion. And they're getting closer and closer. There's labor peace, right? So they signed a 10-year labor agreement, the collective bargaining agreement. Whether or not the players like it, it's ratified and there's no changing it now. Two teams have sold for record numbers just in the last year. The Broncos for $4.65 billion. And then the Commanders blow that out of the water and sell for $6 billion. He successfully engineered the ouster of Dan Snyder without making it too acrimonious. I mean, Snyder was not happy, but he left because he knew he was going to get voted out. As the CEO, essentially, of the NFL, Roger Goodell has got these owners making more money than they did before, than they've ever done before. And he doesn't want to talk about legacy, and he doesn't want to talk about the future. He's not interested. Right now, he's just doing his job.
If I was focusing on my legacy, I wouldn't be standing in front of you. I wouldn't have signed an extension. My job is to be commissioner of the National Football League and do the best I can. That's what I'm going to do. You guys can decide legacies later. That's not what I'm focused on. I'm focused on what we got to accomplish as a league.
I know that a lot of people would tell you he's the most hated commissioner. And you know what it boils down to a lot of the time? People think the officials suck and they blame that on Roger Goodell. Or they don't like the discipline he hands down. And now he's changed under the more recent CBA. He's changed in terms of the scope. He's no longer judge, jury, executioner, if you will. So his power is mitigated. But yeah, people really hate the way he's handled. And I have absolutely criticized the way he's handled some disciplinary situations, including ones that pertain to domestic and family violence. So I know there's enough to criticize. But do you know why he has job security? Because the ratings and the viewership on TV and streaming continue to increase. Because the NFL is the envy of every other sports league in the world. I mean, even Taylor Swift is a fan. That's definitely job security, right? If Taylor Swift is a fan, now you've got your product linked to the number one entertainment commodity in the world. So, yeah, Roger Goodell's doing a job that the owners can be proud of. And I don't think this is a coinky-dink either. Flag football became the centerpiece of the Pro Bowl last year. I suspect that the NFL and just the sports world in general had an inkling that flag football would be ratified as a new sport in the Olympics. So now you've got Roger Goodell looking like he's ahead of the game because the NFL's already started to include flag football. No, not on the field during the season. But flag football is their kind of all-star performance or all-star game. And now it's part of the Olympics. And you've got guys who are campaigning openly to be included for Team USA.
Flag football has been growing dramatically here in the States, but as well as internationally. It's brought young women into the sport and given them a chance to play, which I think is incredibly valuable to our future and rewarding. And so I think now to put it on that stage, the Olympic stage, is really putting a sign of approval and a seal of approval. And frankly, it's going to be a stage for that I think a lot of athletes are going to want to participate in.
Well, he is right about that. There's already a ton who are campaigning. We've heard from Micah Parsons and Tyreek Hill and others. I just think it's unfair. Instead of having international teams, we might just need to break up the NFL and have them do red, green, blue, purple teams. Maybe they can do the live draft like the NBA does for its all-star. Because there aren't enough players or flag football athletes in other countries to compete with the best of the NFL. I guess they have a few years to get ready. 2028, right? You've got time.
Start practicing.
Start your flag football practices now.
Who's going to guard Justin
Jefferson? Hold open tryouts. Well, you asked a good question yesterday. Who the hell is going to quarterback any international team?
There's not one international quarterback. And no. Every quarterback in the NFL is going to be better than anyone else.
Even if there are some, let's say, international college quarterbacks, the best of the best are in the NFL. And if they want to play, well, then you're kind of SOL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, too bad. So sad. Although I would like it to be competitive, I suppose, I guess.
Jordan Mailata is going to be a good lineman for Australia,
for
right?
Australia.
There you go.
Rugby players. What about? Oh, no, it's flag football. Never mind.
Yeah.
I was going to say, they're really strong. They could actually tackle, but it's flag football.
Decent idea, though. Convert them, maybe.
Maybe. Cricket. Cricket athletes.
Like a million-dollar arm kind of thing.
Oh, it'll be fascinating, to be sure. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, too. Good morning. A lot of you waking up and sending us messages. Good to hear from you. Jacob says he's been in this parking lot for work since 30 minutes ago. Ow. Ow. All right. We've got the AFC version of QB news. Might be a little truncated, but your updates on Anthony Richardson. Your updates on Deshaun Watson. A lot of injured quarterbacks.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it caught? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, L.A.
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's got it.
Yes.
Touchdown, Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught. Touchdown, Kansas City. And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Yes, it is. If you missed the NFC version, we gave you updates on Justin Fields and Daniel Jones. And now it's time to talk about other injured quarterbacks because that is a major theme going into week 7. What? In the NFL. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Let's start with the latest on rookie quarterback Anthony Richardson of the Indianapolis Colts.
Hey.
Anthony will have season-ending shoulder surgery. Just, you know, going through that process and talking to all the doctors, getting as much information as we could. This is the best thing for him and this franchise moving forward so we can get him healthy for next season. You take a guy at fourth overall, a tremendous competitor, great player. The longevity of him needs to be at a premium. So this is the best thing for him moving forward.
I know they're thinking long term. He's their investment. They do believe that what they've seen in him is enough to show them that he's the guy that they want to run the franchise. And think about the number of quarterbacks they've been through recently. So it's important. The number four overall draft pick, he had the AC joint sprain. But now they've decided they're going to go ahead and do the shoulder surgery to repair it and make sure he's all set to go. And that came from the top in Jim Irsay. So Gardner Minshew, the job is yours. Oh, my goodness. We could count the number of quarterbacks the Colts have used in recent years since Andrew Luck retired, but it would take too long and the show would be over. So let's move on. Deshaun Watson, also not ready to play this week.
Between Deshaun, our medical team, everybody's on the same page. Understand that we're working through this injury. Like I've told you before, you know, we'll continue to be careful and safe and make sure that when he's ready to do his job and he has all of his ability in terms of being able to throw the football, when he's ready for that, we'll have him back out there at practice. But we're going to continue to treat that thing day to day.
It can be any day. It can be tomorrow. It can be Sunday. It can be 2 weeks from now. I'm not even sure. You know, I'm just, like I said, it's day to day, and I'm following, you know, the steps of the medical team. And, you know, when that time is ready, then I'm going to go out there. I can't put a timeline on anything right now.
He's got a strain to the rotator cuff on his throwing shoulder. So for Deshaun Watson, did not practice Wednesday, has already missed two games, and actually hasn't fully practiced since late September. So it's been almost a month, which is kind of tough. But teams got to keep playing it. I mean, right in the mix there in the AFC North.
I don't want to get out there and be hesitant throwing the ball or anything like that. So. You know, I'm not going to put myself, you know, first in this situation. I'm going to put the team first. And the best situation right now is, you know, PJ going out there and performing like he did Sunday to help this team win.
Well, and what a coincidence. The Browns and the Colts battle in week 7 in Indianapolis. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. On top of the AFC North, it is the Baltimore Ravens. They've got a big game hosting the Lions this weekend. I am all about it. Can't wait to see how those two teams do against one another. And, you know, the biggest challenge for the Ravens so far has been their inability to capitalize when they're in the red zone.
I say we have a little miscommunication here and there that I believe we're going to fix. And hopefully this week we start showing we can put points on the board in the red zone.
It does not help you if you go up and down the field and you get into the red zone and you cannot punch the ball in. And that used to be something that this team was so good at because of their prominent run game, because of Lamar and his dual threat abilities. But they had to settle for 6 Justin Tucker field goals against the Titans last week in London. Now, he's good for it, but come on. That's a hard way to make a living. 1 for 6 in the red zone for the Ravens last week. So they're going to need to do better than that against, you know, a early MVP candidate in Jared Goff. And they could probably put points on the board. In the AFC North, the Steelers get back to work and they get Deontay Johnson returning to the offense. And Kenny Pickett's excited.
Experience in route running and understanding of our offense and what we want to do. You know, I feel like another guy that if he's one-on-one, he's going to win for me. You know, does a great job in all areas of being a receiver. So it's awesome to have him.
Let's see if the Steelers come off their bye and can incite hope and great anticipation among the fan base, because I've heard a lot of grousing the last couple weeks about the offense again. So it's Ravens 4-2, Steelers 3-2, Browns 3-2, and the Bengals back-to-back wins. Still really spotty, but they are now 3-3. Ooh, week 7. Are you kidding me? How does that happen?
We want them to be fat and sassy and spoiled.
I missed Mike Tomlin. Baltimore Ravens and Buffalo Bills have the same record. They're both at 4-2, but a lot of questions about Josh Allen and the Bills offense. Remember against the Giants last week, they did not score until the fourth quarter.
It comes down to us executing and making sure that, you know, I'm on task and making sure that I'm trying to guide this offense in the right way. And making sure I'm making good decisions, and it starts with me. So that's number one.
Jay, are we on task? Are we on point? Are we on task?
We are on fleek.
We're on what? Oh, no, not that again.
We're How old on is that? Fleek. I haven't said that in a long time.
I know,
time.
But I remember we had an entire discussion about whether or not that was something that the cool kids say. And then when I use the word hip, my nieces tell me, Amy, Auntie Amy, don't ever say that. Don't ever say hip about
What's
anything.
Wrong with hip?
I don't know. Apparently it's uncool with the millennials and Gen Z. Yeah, not hip. Don't be hip. Hip is unhip. Right?
Dislocated hip.
Oh, ouch, that hurts. Mike McDaniel dares you to call Tua Tagovailoa a system quarterback.
My answer to that would be who the F cares.
Oh.
Because it is a team. We're working together, and I know one thing. I've coached stuff a long time. I haven't seen people do what our guys do.
Okay, there's so much good there. Number one, who the F cares? That is so great. He's a total millennial.
Be who the F cares.
And then he goes on to say, I've coached stuff for a long time.
I'm here too, okay?
Do you think he instituted or he substituted stuff there for the other S word?
Probably.
You think so?
Yeah.
So he goes from who the F cares to I've coached bleep for a long time and I've never seen guys do what our guys do. It's because the other S word, speed, kills.
It is a team.
Who the F cares? Will you please mark that for a Hall of Fame induction?
Be who the F cares.
The same guy who recently was distracted by a crisp white pair of sneakers at a press conference and had to stop to acknowledge and admire them in the middle of a press conference.
Mature guy.
Very mature guy. I've been coaching stuff for a long time. It's the technical term for football, stuff.
Credence to that.
It's after. Jay loves Mike McDaniel. Who would be your favorite? Mike McDaniel, Dan Campbell, or Mike Tomlin stuck on a desert island?
Gosh, that's so hard.
Just remember, Campbell might bite your kneecaps.
Campbell's good.
In order to get to the last water bottle, he might bite your kneecaps.
With that in mind, I'll go with Dan Campbell. I don't want to get attacked by Dan Campbell.
You just said I'll go with Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
I don't want to get attacked with... But
I don't want to bite my kneecaps, so I'll choose him.
To be stranded on a desert island with you? I thought the question was, if you're going to be stranded on a desert island with one coach, who would it be?
Oh, I thought you meant who would I would like the most.
Oh. All right. Show just went completely off the rails. Also, congratulations to the Las Vegas Aces back-to-back WNBA titles. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!